You heard how it went down. Now, time to sum it all up. This is Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices. One call, that's all.
Bucks will have to work quickly now. 4 seconds to go. Giannis into the front court. Long dribble. Going to take it all the way to the rack as he sends it down with a vicious one-hand slam with 0.9 seconds left.
Recap everything you need to know about this game right now.
12.4 seconds to go. Both teams in the penalty. No timeouts left for the Sixers after Doc Rivers uses that one. They've got it in the front court. Niang to inbound. He's got Harden, Embiid, along with Maxey and Niang. Matthews trying to get in the way of the pass. They get it to Harden. He's defended by Holiday. Lopez, Middleton, and Giannis also out there. Harden, top of the arc. Steps back. Three ball. Off the side iron. Embiid with a rebound. Blocked by Giannis. It's knocked down.
Now here's your host, your analyst, and your MC for the evening.
Make some noise!
Justin Garcia.
Yeah!
Well, that may be the most impressive win the Bucks have all regular season, and that was another game where the Bucks just shine in the clutch. We have spent a lot of time talking about clutch and winning close games and grinding things out and wanting to see this team do it. They have quietly done it to the tune of numbers that may surprise you. But speaking of numbers, the number to get in touch with us tonight on Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices, is 855-616-1620. The Bucks outlast the Sixers in Philadelphia, take the season series, move into two all alone in the East. And remind you why Giannis is a two-time MVP. Joel Embiid is hoping to win an MVP, but Giannis wins the head-to-head matchup. I mentioned it on the pregame show. Of the instances where they have both been on the floor, it's happened 11 times now. Giannis and the Bucks have won 7 of those 11 games. Giannis is averaging, with the 40-point performance tonight, it's got to be around 35, 36 points a game that he's averaging in those matchups against Joel Embiid, but he did everything. And what you got offensively from Giannis, Chris, and Drew, this game right here is why some of us have said all season long, I understand they don't look consistent. They don't look like the team you saw a couple of months ago, in the case of the early portion of the season, in the playoffs. And this isn't looking like a dominant regular season team, but just wait until the stretch drive of the regular season. Wait until the second half. Wait until some of these big matchups. Wait until this team gets healthy, because these three guys showed us in the playoffs last year, there's not a better trio on one team in the NBA. They have taken that mantle. And that's what happened tonight, where they scored 37 in the fourth quarter. And 31 of those 37 came from Giannis, Chris, and Drew. It reminded you of the playoffs where they seemed to trade off on whose turn it was to hit a big shot. Drew Holiday with that big face-up three-pointer. Giannis with a big fourth. Giannis closed out the third with 9 straight points, including one of those plays you heard in the highlights to start the show. Just before the buzzer, with 0.9 seconds left, he goes down the lane and scores. That was big because it felt like for most of that third quarter, man, they have outplayed the Sixers in this quarter. The third quarter has not been a disaster for the Bucks. It feels like the margin should not be 10. And yet you were facing the possibility of overall feeling pretty good about what you did in that third quarter, but not knocking any separation off of that lead. That dunk changed things, and then they come out in the fourth quarter, and just before you know it, it started to feel like the playoff run last year, where maybe the Bucks are trailing. And we especially saw this in Game 6 against the Hawks and in Games 3 and 4 against the Heat, where the Bucks were trailing and trailing by double figures. But then they started to chip away, and it got down from 12 to 8 to 6. And you got the sense of, okay, they are one shot away and one stop away from really, really taking control of this game. And that's what it felt like at the midpoint of the fourth quarter, of there's just one more shot away from climbing the hill. And they had a couple of opportunities. The big Brook Lopez missed three that would have made it a 7-point game and probably ended it right there. But the Bucks ultimately cashed in with their defense. in an impressive win tonight. 855-616-1620, the Acunet Mortgage Talk and Text Line. This win against the Sixers tells you what about the Bucks, and I guess taking it one step further, does this win tell you more about the Bucks or more about the 76ers? Because we have questions about all four teams at the top of the Eastern Conference. We can go through those questions in just a couple of minutes here, but who did you learn more about tonight? The Bucks that you were waiting to see this from, or the 76ers that have been hastily assembled here since the trade deadline, and I think we all kind of poked at and said, well, on paper this looks great. Yeah, but this was one of those yeah, but instances. 855-616-1620, the Acunet Mortgage Talk and Text Line. More after this as the Bucks knock off the Sixers in Philadelphia.
First free throw is good, second one on the way. It is short, but the rebound pinballs off a couple players. It's going to be dug out by Matthews. He'll feed to Holiday. Back to Matthews. A head fake. Drives in. Flicks the pass inside. There's the rim rocker for Giannis, who attacks the rack with a vicious two-hand slam.
Well, if you think Giannis is the MVP this season, I'm sure a lot of our listeners do. This is the game. You're one of them, Brandon. This is the game that you would use to present to the voters and say, if I can have your attention for just one moment. Yeah, Joel Embiid has been great and all. Well, what about this game where both teams really wanted it? And this, in all likelihood, decides who finishes ahead of the other team in the final standings of the regular season, because now you got a game on Philly if you're the Bucks, and you have the tiebreaker. So the Bucks have 7 games left. The Sixers have 7 games left, but Philly has to outplay you by 2 games to pass you now. So the Sixers go 5-2. As long as the Bucks go 4-3, you're finishing ahead of the Sixers. And, you know, I hate to say I told you so, but I did tell you before the month began. It's always darkest before the dawn, right? That's what they say. I know it looks bad now, and I know it's a tough schedule that the Bucks have in March, but they will win 10 games in March, at least 10 games. They're 10-3 with 1 game left in the month of March. 855-616-1620, the Acunet Mortgage Talk and Text Line. Who did you learn more about tonight? The Bucks in that, okay, I've seen it. I've seen it enough. We're starting to see this consistently in the second half. We've especially consistently seen this in the month of March. Did you learn more about the Bucks or reaffirm those beliefs, or the 76ers? Because to me, I think this was a confirmation, much more than it was learning something. This was confirmation of what I believed about both of these teams. And I know you don't want to rush to judgment on just one regular season game, but this was an important regular season game for both of these teams. And my belief that I've not wavered from is what we just said a couple of minutes ago. I trust these three guys. I trust the supporting cast. I guess if I wanted to say I learned something, it's another thing I think we talked about earlier in the week of, you know, the only question I have about this Bucks team moving into the playoffs, assuming they can stay healthy, is last year in the postseason, they were basically 6 players deep. You had your starting 5 with Giannis, Chris, Drew, Brook Lopez, PJ Tucker, and then Pat Connaughton. I mean, those were the guys that played the majority of the minutes. Bobby Portis got some, but it was very matchup-based the further you went in the postseason. We did see some other players sprinkle in. Brent Forbes was another guy that it was, you know, the further you went in the playoffs, the less you saw of Brent Forbes. Now, the injury to Dante DiVincenzo certainly changed that for the Bucks. Jeff Teague played some. Elijah Bryant played some. But basically, it was, okay, it's really 6 guys that they're playing here. It's not a team that's 6 deep anymore. Grayson Allen is, he's not Brent Forbes. Now, he may have the same treatment where you may advance further in the playoffs and say, Grayson Allen only played 10 minutes tonight or 12 minutes. because I think what we learned is my question was, you don't have P.J. Tucker. Maybe that means Pat Connaughton plays some more minutes. I would imagine it's going to be a similar treatment for Bobby and maybe Brooke Lopez as well. And Bud himself has said, look, the tough part about having a deep team, and especially as we get to this stage of the season, is you can't play everyone. And you have to have difficult conversations of, I just need you to stay ready. And, you know, your number may not be called today. It may not be called Thursday, Friday, Sunday. It may not be called for 2 weeks, but I need you to stay ready. Wesley Matthews, I think we've kind of had the answers given to us all along, but Wesley Matthews is that guy. Now, he's not P.J. Tucker like-for-like replacement, but look at tonight. Wesley Matthews goes into the starting lineup. Initially, I think you looked at it in our pal Ty of the Eurostep podcast was the first one on this last night saying, you know, if I was Mike Budenholzer, I would put Wesley Matthews in the starting lineup because of that familiarity and the way he's defended James Harden in the past. There is one interesting thing from that I want to get to as it pertains to the fourth quarter. But that's what we saw, and I think the rationale was, well, this makes sense. It's the James Harden defense. Wesley Matthews has done this before, especially with most of this group. So, yeah, I like it. But as you listen to Bud after the game, he talked about Wes and what he did and mentioned Stardeen, not Started. I'm not willing to rule out Grayson Allen and Bobby Portis basically being your scoring off the bench. And this is the new starting five, especially as you move into the playoffs, because Bud loves and trusts Wesley Matthews because he plays defense. He's a big physical wing. And look at some of these teams. If you play Philadelphia in the playoffs, and that's a very real possibility with both of these teams eyeing a potential 2-3 finish. Even if the Bucks are 1 and the Sixers are 4, that's a second-round matchup. You're going to need Wesley Matthews in a series against the Sixers because of this Sixers team, because of James Harden. If you play Miami, I mean, I think we all vividly remember Wesley Matthews more than held his own on Jimmy Butler in the series 2 years ago, and we were all pulling out our hair screaming, why isn't Wesley Matthews on the floor in the fourth quarter in some of those big moments? Game 2, where Jimmy Butler wins the game for the Heat. Game 3, where he essentially ended the Bucks season. Wesley Matthews wasn't the guy defending him. Wesley Matthews is going to play against the Miami Heat. Wesley Matthews is going to play against the Chicago Bulls if that's a team you face in the playoffs. Wesley Matthews, all of these teams he can play against. I think the one where you would say, well, maybe the biggest challenge he'll have defensively would be against the Boston Celtics with some of that perimeter speed they have, but you're still going to give him the nod and give him more minutes and trust him defensively more than you would Grayson Allen. So this may be a glimpse of how the Bucks close out these final 7-ish games of the season, because I do think things are going to be decided going into that final weekend or close to it. And at least in that final game against the Cavs, it's very likely the Bucks may not have anything to play for and may choose to just rest, and Cleveland is going to have a lot to play for. As of right now, the Cavs are in the play-in tournament, and that's probably going to go down to the end of the season. So I think this is what you're going to start in the playoffs, with Wesley Matthews in the backcourt alongside Drew Holiday. And what I mentioned with Drew was mostly Wesley Matthews on James Harden. Now, you saw Philadelphia a handful of times. They wanted to target specific matchups, and the two-man game between James Harden and Joel Embiid, we know how lethal it is offensively. The Bucks seemed to confuse them early. Philadelphia made one adjustment to it, and that was okay. They're flashing these very, very quick double teams on Joel Embiid. You got to get rid of the ball earlier. And that led to open looks for the Sixers. The second quarter, on paper, it was a disaster. In terms of the process, it was not a disaster. Philly just hit shots. And the one thing, it felt like the playoff run last year against teams like the Heat, the Nets, the Hawks. The one thing that stood out in that second quarter was, you know, overall, I don't feel bad about the process that the Bucks are going through here, and no pun intended, playing Philadelphia, but I don't feel bad about the process. The results aren't great, but they got hot. And at one point, they were, I think, 6 of 8 on threes in that second quarter. They finished 6 of 10. You just kept saying, you know, My one question about this Sixers team, which was pretty much confirmed tonight, is when push comes to shove, yes, Joel Embiid can generate offense. Yes, James Harden can generate offense, and they can both get to the free throw line. But when push comes to shove, if you go up against a good defensive team that has capable individual defenders, you are going to be able to force the ball out of their hands, force possessions late into the shot clock, and tell the Sixers, you know, every possession, it's not going to be an Embiid and Harden possession. You're going to have one of these other guys hit a shot. You know that's not going to be Tyrese Maxey. And if history is any indication, in the playoffs, it's not going to be Tobias Harris and George Niang. Maybe it's Tyrese Maxey. But what you saw in the second half, Tobias Harris and George Niang were put in the spot where, hey, here's an open look. We need a three to fall, and it did not fall. And that, to me, is the biggest difference between these two teams. The Bucks have three shot creators and makers and a pretty good supporting cast around them. Guys like Pat Connaughton didn't have a great night tonight. From the field, I don't know what he was offensively. He did not have a notable impact offensively. Pat Connaughton tonight finished with 2 points on 1-of-5 shooting, 0-of-4 on threes. Pat Connaughton was not great. And Pat Connaughton and Grayson Allen were the two guys the Sixers were targeting the most and trying to get switches and put James Harden on. Tobias Harris especially, when he had Pat Connaughton on him. Andrew Holiday. That seemed to be an issue because of his size. But Pat Connaughton is a guy that I still trust to make plays and I trust to hit shots in those possessions because he's done it in the past. And you look up and down the Sixers roster. Tobias Harris, Tyrese Maxey, George Niang, Paul Millsap. Boy, you want to have the discussion on Serge Ibaka playing 3 minutes tonight, and I already saw some of the discourse of, you know, I didn't like the move when the Bucks made it, and I got to say, I don't really love it right now. Serge Ibaka isn't looking like the same guy. Sure, but what about Paul Millsap, who was basically a turnstile against Giannis? And that's a huge issue for the Sixers. As I said, all four of these teams, we've started to see the flaws more and more, or at least for a handful of them, I should say, more and more the last couple of weeks. For Philly, who's the third guy? Who's the third guy that's going to create and make shots? And where's the size? I mean, for as much as we laugh at Andre Drummond is a heck of an improvement over Paul Millsap. There is absolutely no one. DeAndre Jordan didn't even play. I mean, that's the state that DeAndre Jordan is at. Philly has no size. It's Embiid. And what happens if Embiid starts to wear down or get into foul trouble? He did play 39 minutes tonight. Giannis played 38 minutes tonight and outplayed him for all of those minutes. So to me, this game told me, yeah, everything I felt all season long about the Bucks, it's starting to come to fruition. Everything I think most of us questioned when the Sixers made this trade, we've seen it a couple of times now, and especially in this game that felt like a playoff game. 855-616-1620, the Acunet Mortgage talk and text line. I mentioned, what did this game tell you more about? Who did it tell you more about? And what questions do you feel were answered? There is one that we've gotten a few on Twitter, and one I want to get to here, but especially as we talk about the rotations here for this team. And last year, there were six deep, essentially, in the playoffs. Now you're deeper, but who plays and who's left off? There was one player that has become the apple of all of our eye who did not play tonight. What does that mean for Javon Carter moving forward? We'll get to that after this as the Bucks beat the Sixers, a signature win in Philadelphia. We'll hear from you after this.
Drew around the Middleton screen, squeezes off a three, and he delivers another cold-blooded jumper for the defending champs. This time, Drew Holiday with smoke pouring out of his barrel.
Drew Holiday, Giannis, and Chris Middleton combined to score 31 of the Bucks' 37 fourth-quarter points. This is why this team is special. 2 years ago, when Wesley Matthews was on this team, it was Giannis and Chris. And if one of those guys had an off game, it was tough to find where the generation of offense was going to come from. Wesley Matthews was asked to do that at times. Brooke Lopez had to be that third scorer. Eric Bledsoe, I mean, as good of a fit as Eric Bledsoe was on offense, or defensively, beg your pardon, you saw the limitations offensively, and you saw, look, we got to do things differently. We got to make some changes. And you made the change to bring in Drew Holiday. It brought you an NBA championship last year, and it brings you wins like this. We have talked quite a bit. I know I've mentioned it a couple of times, and especially early in the season when it seemed like this team just couldn't figure things out and couldn't get things to go their way of, man, what's wrong with the Bucks? And we pointed to how bad they were in the clutch. They didn't have a whole lot of reps at it, but when they did get to that, they were not good. The Phoenix Suns have been really good all season long in clutch situations. 32.5 net rating. That is a video game. In games where it's a five-point game at any point in the final 5 minutes of the game, the Suns are 31-6. The Suns are 61-14 overall. So they're 30-8 in games that are blowouts or not decided, but never get to within 5 points in the final 5 minutes of the game. But all season long, the Suns have been the best clutch team out there. Their offense has been ridiculous. A 32.5 net rating, a 131.3 offensive rating. They're scoring 131 points per 100 possessions in those tight spots. That's pretty good. The best offensive rating in the league is around 117, I believe. Devin Booker and Chris Paul have been insane. Do you know, very, very quietly, stealth move, the biggest stealth move this team has made this season, under the radar, the team in the NBA with the second best net rating in clutch situations this season? It is the Milwaukee Bucks. The Phoenix Suns are first. The Bucks have been the second best team in the clutch this season. And a lot of that has to do with what they've been doing since the All-Star break. But this team has just been coming along for the last couple of months now. If we look at post-All-Star break specifically, they played Philadelphia on the 17th. That went into the All-Star break. From that point forward, the Bucks are a plus 14 net rating in the clutch. They're plus 27.3 and 7-1 this season in those clutch spots since the All-Star break. 855-616-1620, the Acunet Mortgage Talk and Text Line. A couple of questions to get to on Twitter. Let's head to the phone lines first. Talk with Dick in Port Washington. You're up on Bucks Talk.
Yeah, hi. I don't mean to change the focus of the show here, but I think the biggest game of the entire season is coming up Thursday. And here's my rationale for that. I think you're going to see Carter play in that game for sure with Wesley. And I think Wesley's going to start. But here's what I'm thinking. You know, last year I just feared Miami. Man, I was proven totally wrong. But this Nets team is a lot different. I think that if we can, even if we lose, if you lose by a bucket or under three, it's going to make big differences for us because that shows we can go in there and play. If we win on Thursday, I don't care really where we finish, first, second, third, fourth. It really doesn't make that much difference. But if they do to us what they did to Philly in Philly, I think we've got a lot to worry about. I really think this is the game of the year for us. If you win it, it's going to be tremendous. We'll have all the confidence we need going into the playoffs.
See, I thought this game was bigger than the Philly game because, look, there's a really good chance you're not going to have to worry about Brooklyn in the postseason. Now, I guess before we get to any of that, Would you say, and it kind of feels this way, listening to you talk about Brooklyn, would you say the Nets are the team that concerns you the most in the East?
By far. I mean, don't forget, they came into Milwaukee without Durant.
Right.
And the non-vaxxer killed us. And I, this has got to be a statement game. This is a statement game. By far the biggest of the year.
Where I struggle with it is this Bucks team feels like a very different team since the last time those two teams played. And it was post All-Star break. It was their first game after the break. But they looked lifeless and flat, and they looked like a team that just came back home and wasn't fully in it yet. And in the month of March, it's been a completely different team that post All-Star break in the clutch. They've been the best team in the league, and they've only lost one of those games. With Brooklyn, I understand the concern that, you know, Kevin Durant, we've seen what Kevin Durant is capable of doing in a playoff series, but I get that Brooklyn is more balanced now than they were a season ago in terms of their offensive depth. They do not have the defensive depth, and if you had concerns over the defense last year, it's even worse this year. They gave up 123 points to the Pistons tonight. They had a horrible game against the Blazers just the other night where they gave up 120 to a G League Blazers team. The defense has been horrendous for the Brooklyn Nets, and that to me is the biggest concern, that with Kevin Durant and with Kyrie Irving, that's great, but you've seen how the Bucks can defend two players. That was the biggest concern with Brooklyn, was they had those three guys last year. Now, the Bucks didn't have to face those three guys because of injuries, but they were much more deadly a season ago. Look, I'm still not enthused about having to stop Kevin Durant for a seven-game series, but this team doesn't concern me as much as they did a season ago. And, you know, we forget, for as great as Kevin Durant was in that series last year, we don't forget, but as great as he was in that series, the Bucks still won. And if it weren't for a Jeff Green game of his life in game five, the Bucks win that series in six games. So it's not ideal to face Kevin Durant when you don't have PJ Tucker, but I'm not there yet on Brooklyn. I still think that defense is a huge flaw for that team, and I'm not convinced that Brooklyn is even getting out of the first round.
They're going to end up playing Cleveland. Toronto's not going to give up that last spot. So they're going to end up playing Cleveland
for the play-in game, yes. But, I mean, in the first round, their matchup is going to be one of these four teams.
Oh, you mean in the first round. Yeah,
the first round, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. But the first round could be...
Brooklyn.
It'll be Brooklyn.
Well, if you finish second, it's going to be Brooklyn.
Yeah. You've got... It's a statement game. I mean, you hear this all the time. It's a statement game. Justin, you said a couple weeks ago when I was saying, you know, this game and this game was that, you said tonight's game was going to be really a touchstone for this.
Yeah.
Thursday night's the true touchstone for this. It really is, I think.
What's interesting, and thanks for the call, Dick.
But then again, I wanted us to... Yeah, last year I wanted us to lose so we didn't have to play Miami, and I was totally wrong. Just my opinion now. I might change after Thursday, so who knows?
Well,
thanks for the call.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Dick. And look, Thursday is bigger than Friday. Now, it's going to be curious to see how they handle this back-to-back. They have two left, Thursday and Friday. And then the final back-to-back is the second to last. It's game 70 and 71, game 80 and 81, I believe, because 82 is that Sunday against the Cavs. And I think it's another, I really, really should know this, huh? But I think it's another Thursday, Friday. So yes, Thursday, Friday against the Celtics and Pistons. So 1 week from Thursday, Friday is when they have their final back-to-back of the season. It's going to be interesting to see how they approach this one, because that final one, April 7th at home against the Celtics, April 8th on the road against the Pistons. I am almost willing to Stone Cold Lead Pipe Lock of the Millennium. Do not expect a lot of regulars to play in that Friday game against the Pistons on April 8th. Night two of a back-to-back. I'm guessing you're going all out against the Celtics, since that is a game that could decide standings as well in the Eastern Conference. And it still remains to be seen how they will treat that game against the Cavaliers, especially if they don't have much or anything to play for. But I'm going to be curious to see how they handle this Thursday, Friday. Now, if we just compare those two, Thursday against Brooklyn, Friday against the Clippers, obviously Thursday is much more important because it's an Eastern Conference game and your conference record ties into tiebreakers. The selfish side of you says, you know, Friday, assuming he plays in both games, Friday is when Giannis is likely to become the all-time leading scorer in franchise history. If he doesn't play Friday and rests on a back-to-back, they are at home Sunday against the Dallas Mavericks in a nationally televised game. But to me, this was far and away the biggest of the remaining games on the schedule for the Bucks this season. Dick brought up Javon Carter, and I've seen a few people mention Javon Carter on Twitter as well. The Javon Carter discussion after this. What is his role in the playoffs? We'll discuss next.
Middleton tries to do that. Fires up the three for the lead, and he hits it. Milwaukee has surged ahead 94-93. The Bucks answering on another three-pointer.
14 made threes tonight for the Bucks. 16 for the Sixers. Bucks were led in that category by Brooke Lopez, who hit four threes. 17 points a season high. The best offense we've seen from Brooke since his return. 11 straight points to open the third quarter. And more clutch play from the Bucks, who, you know, very quietly have become the second best clutch team in the NBA this season, trailing only the Phoenix Suns. 855-616-1620, the Acunet Mortgage Talk and Text Line. What did you learn about the Bucks tonight? And did you learn more about the Bucks or the 76ers? Those are the questions of the night. But we've also gotten some questions on one player specifically. That player is Javon Carter. Now, I had this conversation just the other day with Dave Kane and Ben Brust before the Bucks game. Well, not just the other day, but the other week. Last time the Bucks were at home against the Wizards, we were kind of talking about the rotations and what we talked about just a couple of minutes ago of they're a deeper team this year, but you know, deeper doesn't always mean better in the playoffs because you play your best guys extended minutes. But Javon Carter specifically. Now, it's easy to look at what Javon Carter has done recently and fall in love with him. He is a coach's dream. He picks you up full length, plays defense, slaps the floor, and he's been hitting shots. Now, on the one hand, you're inclined to say, well, if Javon Carter is going to space the floor and hit some shots, he's going to make it tough to keep him off the floor in the playoffs. But I do think tonight is kind of a telltale sign that, yeah, he's a good insurance policy to have. And I would much rather have Javon Carter to insert into situations like that than, no offense, Jeff Teague and, no offense, Elijah Bryant. So I think that's the role he's going to play, is the break glass in case of emergency in the final few minutes, or the final minute, I should say, of a quarter, kind of like we saw Thanasis use last year. I think that's the usage for Javon Carter, because, you know, just look at the minutes from tonight. Javon Carter did not play. Serge Ibaka played 3 minutes. George Hill played 9 minutes. Wesley Matthews played 25. Brooke Lopez played 29. Drew Holiday played 40. Giannis played 38. Chris played 39. Chris and Giannis, their minutes are probably going to be equal to Drew Holiday. But outside of that, I think the minutes tonight, Bobby Portis with 14, Pat Connaughton with 18, and Grayson Allen 25. You probably flip those two guys. But this is probably probably the closest of any game this season that we have seen to how the minutes will be doled out in the postseason. 855-616-1620, the number to get in touch with us. Still a few minutes left on the program. Let's head to McGuanago and talk with Daniel next. You're up on Bucks Talk.
Hey, it's kind of off the topic, but I think all good teams, they're going to always have one player who can get points whenever he wants and just help them through those clutch situations. Like, the Bucks have Giannis, and, like, the Sixers have Embiid, and, like, this is college basketball, but the Badgers had Johnny Davis. Like, most good teams are going to have a person who can come in clutch to play for them.
I think the question is really this, Daniel, especially as we look at Giannis versus Embiid tonight, is MVP means something different to everyone. Of, is it the most valuable? Is it the best? Is it the player that had the biggest impact? But there's three clear front runners for the MVP, and you talk about every team, and good teams have that player that can get shots and make shots in these situations. And everybody you named is certainly in that group. But of those three guys, Giannis, Embiid, and Nikola Jokic, you have a game like tonight where it's back and forth and it's decided in the final minute of the game. Which of those three do you want on your side that you trust to get you the victory the most?
I would trust Giannis the most.
Yeah, I would agree. Thanks for the call, Daniel. I would agree, and I would. Giannis and Nikola Jokic are the two guys that stand out the most to me. And look, the straw poll that Tim Bontemps does every year, where he checks in with MVP voters at the quarter points of every season, everybody's favorite term, the quarter point and the quarter poll. But Tim Bontemps does that and says, okay, you got to vote for the MVP. Who are you voting for? He released the most recent one, and the final one he does yesterday, I believe. And it was Nikola Jokic with Joel Embiid, with Giannis a distant third. So I think that tells us, as great as tonight was, Giannis isn't going to be a three-time MVP this season. If Giannis doesn't win it, it should be Joel Embiid. It should be Nikola Jokic, but I think we've seen enough to know Joel Embiid can't be the MVP as long as Giannis is in the league, and especially in his conference. Games like tonight, who did you trust more to bring you the victory? Giannis had that stretch to the final nine in the third quarter in double figures that he scored in the fourth quarter. And the Bucks were able to just throw Joel Embiid off his game early. 12 points in the fourth quarter for Giannis. Joel Embiid scored 8 on 3 of 6 shooting. Giannis was 4 of 5 with 12 points, 2 blocks, 3 rebounds. He took over. And this is probably the most impressive win of the season. I got a few texts as well that kind of said, like, man, what a game. Great game. All-time classic. Would you agree with this, Brandon? It's only a great game when you win. Like, if the Bucks lost this game, I don't think the first takeaway leaving this game is, man, what a great game that was. Too bad they lost.
Yeah, and I think there's something different, Justin, when it's Philly.
Do you dislike them the most?
I dislike them the most. I think it's like 1A, 1B with Miami for me as a Bucks fan, and you could argue back and forth. But what I don't like about them is I don't like James Harden. I don't respect his game whatsoever. But this stems all the way back from trust the process. You remember when the Bucks owners and the Philly owners were kind of going back and forth?
Oh, yeah.
We trust results, and it kind of goes back. And getting a win in Philly, you talk about the MVP possibly being Joel Embiid. You mentioned it before. Obviously, Giannis is much better all-around game, scoring, defense, facilitating than Joel Embiid. It means a little bit more going into Philly and getting a win. And yeah, and if you don't win, it's still a good game. Obviously, I was in here with my palms sweaty, weak arms were heavy, and I was standing up watching on the TV, but it wouldn't mean the same. But it was a good game nonetheless.
It's a game like these are the games you look at the standings and you look at the results at the end of the season after you're in the thick of it. Like, oh yeah, I guess that was a good game. But today, nobody in Philly is like, oh man, what a great game. Too bad we couldn't pull it out against the Bucks again. A most impressive win so far this season by the Bucks. Now they look to keep it rolling and hopefully finish March 11-3. My thanks to Brandon and Chris for producing the show. All of you for hanging out as well. Another big one Thursday night as the Bucks head to Brooklyn to take on the Nets. And we will recap things immediately afterwards with more Bucks talk presented by Gruber Law Offices.